Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne Zupko, and I'm so happy you all are here. Before we get to reading, as you all know, I am a big fan of Nook Sanchez and her teachings about the deeper meanings of A Course in Miracles. And I was listening to one of her audio recordings this week, and she led the group through an exercise that was very profound for me. So I'm going to do my best just to share this exercise with you in our meditation. So I'm just going to ask that everybody participate in this, and we can sort of discuss it afterwards. So if you're doing something on the side, if you would just take a few minutes just to stop and sit still, and if you would like, allow your eyes to close. And just settling in by taking a few mindful breaths. I want you to think about something that you desire, something that you currently want. And I'm actually asking you to do this with your ego. So something that our small self, our personalities in these bodies, something that you want. And I want you to see if you can just really get in touch with that feeling of desire through the ego. And notice that desire, that want. Where is that feeling located in your body? Does it feel like it's outside of you, in front of you, in your body somewhere? What is it feel like to have that desire? So just again, trying to locate where it is that you sense that desire. Again, it might be in the body, it might be something that you sense outside of the body. And thinking about for a moment all of the ways that the ego might problem solve to try to get that. So there's that gap between you and that thing that you think that you want. There's a space. It's something that you perceive that you don't have. And we're going to switch gears now. And rather than holding this desire, this wishing with the ego in mind, we're going to switch into a feeling of knowing that the Holy Spirit has already met every need that we perceive. So feeling what it feels like to fully know that every need that you have is met, even if the ego would tell you otherwise. Again, seeing if you can just get into that space of touching, even if it's just for a split second, on that trust of knowing that every need that we could possibly dream of, it's already been met. There is no need. We have everything right now. So again, this is looking through the Holy Spirit, using our right mind. And noticing how this perhaps feels differently. Even if you were to sense in the body, maybe there's a physical difference that you might notice. With allowing the Holy Spirit's vision to be the vision that we choose to use. taking another couple of mindful breaths. And slowly, when you're ready, allowing our eyes to open, coming together to our perception of this time and place. Lovely bells to the end of our meditation. So I'm wondering, that was a very profound experience for me the first time that I did it. It's something that I've been working with. And I could certainly share, you know, what that meant for me, but I'm wondering if anybody noticed anything, if anybody had anything come up or any difference that you noticed between that wishing with the ego versus trusting in the Holy Spirit, willing with God.
I absolutely felt impatient and anxious,
mm-hmm.
More in the upper body,
mm-hmm.
face, neck, even ears,
mm-hmm.
when I, you know, thought about what it is I want and don't have yet.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you shifted that,
mm-hmm.
I thought the contrast was really cool.
Mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
I felt confident and sure and relaxed
mm-hmm.
and doubt free and patient.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the reverse. I mean, it's just the total opposite with the other. I felt impatient, anxious.
Right. Wow. That contrast can be such a powerful teacher, right?
And I could relate this to something that happened actually many years ago when I lost one job, and between jobs, I absolutely felt confident and secure
mm.
that something good was coming, and it did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So I kind of took it back to that. And I could really see the difference between.
Yeah, that's a great example. Thank you so much. It's really powerful, the things that you listed, being confident, sure, relaxed, patient, doubt-free. Like, wow. Those are all big things. Anybody else?
This is Megan. I'm freaking out with what I think Paula just said, because I lost my job last week, and I am totally dealing with it in a way that is so unexpected. I'm confident. I'm just like feel free and like open to it. And so many opportunities have like literally hit me over the head.
Wow.
And I feel like I'm almost experiencing just exactly what she verbalized in right this moment.
That's really cool.
It's
so
freaking
cool.
Me out, but in a good way.
Hey, there's no mistakes, right? That's really,
right.
really awesome.
Right. Wow.
That is so cool. Oh, thank you, Megan.
Thank you, guys.
This is Claddy.
Hi, Claddy.
Hi. I actually have been stuck in my ego since, like, about 4. And I've been aware that I've been stuck in it. And it has been over me wanting something. And I was very aware that my ego was a full-blown attacking and looking to manipulate my husband so that I could, through him, get what I want and then I could feel better. And I knew the call was today, and, like, up to, like, the minute the call was starting, I was, like, you know, I could hear the – you don't want to be on the call. And I was like, I have to, because I was like, I'm always in that place of I'm willing to receive the miracle, and it wasn't coming. Like, I was just kind of like knowing that I was bullying and attacking, but I was like, I don't know how to separate it from now. And it's interesting because you do usually do moments of silence. And when you started to say what you're going to do today, I was like, oh, okay, I see now why I'm supposed to. Not that I probably would have been on the call for a different reason if something else was coming up, but I guess I couldn't even, I was so stuck in it that I couldn't even tell where in my body I was feeling it. until you said to feel it with the Holy Spirit, and then it's like my shoulders relaxed. So I guess I was feeling it in my shoulders, and I couldn't even tell. Like, I was listening to you, and I'm like, I can't tell where it is. It's everywhere. And then all of a sudden, when you said that, I was like, okay. It's like my shoulders just dropped. It was just a feeling of ease that came over and release. Like, I wasn't confused and trying to figure it out anymore. I kind of in the space of, like, I'm apologetic. You know, I'm kind of in the space of, like, okay, I'm sorry. I know when I'm done, you know, the call, I will be saying I'm sorry, because I know that I was totally stuck in my ego, and that's a relationship now that I can turn back to holy and be like, okay, I don't need you to make me feel better. I can release that. So thank you for that. But I totally, it's interesting because it was so stuck in that place of wanting it from the ego that I couldn't even, like, feel it or figure out what it was going on. But it's just that moment I heard, oh, I can give it to the Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden it was just like, okay, I'm done now.
Wow. Oh, thank you for sharing that. That moment of being able to hand it over and let it go, that shift sometimes is so palpable. Like, you know, we notice the shoulders release. We notice that just the feeling of peace come back, you know, and we know then that little shift has happened. So that's really powerful. So, yeah, I guess no mistakes that you're here. But I felt very compelled to do that tonight.
Right.
So.
Right. And I think the last thing I'd like to add is I felt, this is the best way to describe it, I felt my sanity come back.
Mm.
So as soon as my shoulders released, I felt like I went from insane, like I have to have this, to like, okay, I'm back to sane. I'm completely done with that. So it was
really cool
to feel like myself become myself almost again, because I kind of felt like I was completely stuck and not knowing what I was doing anymore.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. I love that feeling. I have those moments all the time where my sanity comes back.
Mm-hmm.
It goes, and then it comes back again. And then it goes, and then I choose again with the Holy Spirit, and it comes back. That's awesome. Anybody else have anything to share about that exercise?
I think this is Deidre.
Mm-hmm.
I think what came true for me is that when I was in my ego, I felt very, doubtful and unsure and, you know, nervous. And I was made aware that the ego likes timetables. And when you haven't, if you're not feeling like you are where you should be, like my desire was connected to something that I've wanted for quite a while. And so the ego likes to, you know, play with the timetable and say, you're not there yet, you're not there yet. And as soon as I got into spirit, it was like, there is no timetable.
Awesome.
And
that's such a relief.
Yeah.
It's such a relief to be able to let that go. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's a powerful exercise for me because the way when I first did this exercise, the thing that was on my mind was, as some of you know, I'm doing more teaching now, and I was feeling particularly pressed and stressed surrounding teaching, and my desire was to feel peace again, to feel that restored sense of peace and trust that the words will be there when I need them, that I can, you know, step out of the way and not have to do it myself. And that, and I'm not sure if anybody else noticed this, but that moment when we get in touch with, or even when we're telling ourselves what it is that we want, when we're wishing with the ego, just by that wish, we're already creating a gap between us and what it is that we think, you know, we want. We're already, there's already a separation there. There's a split there. And what is that? But, you know, another way that the ego can sort of keep things going. You know, you want something that you don't have. And so the way that we tend to fill the gap here on this planet is by the ego's problem solving, by coming up with a plan. Like, I need to do this, this, and this to fix it and, you know, get it right and therefore have what I want and then I'll be happy. And, of course, we all know that maybe it'll make us happy for a minute and then, you know, we're on to the next thing, doing the same sort of process. So we create that gap by wishing with the ego, and then we problem solve with the ego to try to fix it or to fill it. Stepping back instead then into that space of the Holy Spirit having met all of our needs, trusting that it's done already. You know, everything that I need, it's all there. It's done. For me, that was really profound because that shifted me into, you know what? We've already been healed. Like, this, again, is just this dream that we keep going over and over and over and replaying and keeping it going. The Course teaches that this has all been done already. We're already healed. And so to be able to step in that place of trust, even if the external picture doesn't look healed, being able to step into that place of trust and just knowing that it's okay. Like I was thinking with Megan, what you were sharing, feeling so confident and free and open, you know, that you lost your job and you're surprising yourself. Like, that's being in that space of just trusting, and amazing things come when we can just rest in knowing that we are taken care of. So that was a really, really powerful exercise for me, and I'm happy that we could share it together on the call. Anything else, and we can actually start doing some reading? Anybody else have any thoughts to share? Sounds like we're good. So if anything comes up, by all means, please share whenever you feel moved. So again, I will read the page numbers that we're at. So the Sparkle Edition is page 164. It's the second to the last paragraph. To fragment is to break into pieces, is how the sentence begins. So again, Sparkle Edition, page 164. Original Edition is in the hard copy of the book, page 139. Or you can find it by going to chapter 7, part 9, paragraph 87. Also begins, to fragment is to break into pieces. Last but not least, if you have the Foundation for Inner Peace Edition, it's page 130, all the way at the bottom. It's paragraph number 4, sentence number 3. So in the FIP edition, it starts mid-paragraph. Again, to fragment is to break into pieces. So for those of you that might be joining us for the first time tonight, we typically just read a paragraph at a time and pause and share anything that's coming up, insights, questions, anything like that, and we just take it one paragraph at a time. So here we go. To fragment, actually, I want to back up. Since we're starting midsection, the section that we're in is the defense of conflict. And so what we've been talking about in this section thus far is how the ego always tries to preserve conflict because that keeps the ego going. And it talked a little bit about the difference between projecting with the ego versus extending from spirit, and how we think that we can get rid of something by projecting it or, you know, giving it away, where this course is teaching us that giving is how you keep it. That's how heaven extends and knows itself. We give and extend the love of God, and that's how we know it. That's how we keep it. So in this paragraph preceding where we're beginning, it was just talking about how when we project from the ego, we tend to be afraid that our projections are going to return and hurt us because we think our projections are trying to creep back into our own mind, and that's because our projections haven't left our own mind. So it just kind of, that's sort of the best I can do at the moment, summarizing that paragraph. So here we go. To fragment is to break into pieces, and mind cannot attack or be attacked. The belief that it can, a fallacy which the ego always makes, underlies its whole use of projection. It does not understand what mind is, and therefore does not understand what you are. Yet its existence is dependent on your mind, because the ego is your belief. The ego is therefore a confusion in identification, which never had a consistent model and never developed consistently. It is the distorted product of the misapplication of the laws of God by distorted minds which are misusing their own power. So I'll pause there. And I'll just say that that last sentence strikes me. Distorted minds which are misusing their own power, because in a sense we can think about this as that we're using the power of God to forget that we are part of God, to forget that we have that power of God within us. So we're using this enormous power of God to, in a sense, give ourselves amnesia and believe that we are these egos rather than all one and all connected. And the ego is our belief. That's it. Any comments or clarifications or insights about this paragraph?
I'm just thinking of something that happened to me, and I'm sharing it because it was so ridiculous. Like, I actually had something happen to me where I was having an argument with Spirit today.
Okay.
I was like, just tell me what to do. Like, because I don't understand what to do, and I was getting really irritated that I wasn't receiving, or, like, feeling like I was receiving the answer. And then after I stepped back from that, I realized that it was the ego that was there and not my true self. And because when you're your true self, there's no way you can ever be angry or upset at anything.
Right.
And it was just this whole idea of like, you know, using the power of God, like you said just a minute ago, to make yourself separate. And I thought, how ridiculous is that? I didn't even realize it was happening, for one. And that just shows how tricky the ego is.
Right.
And like, how often do these little things happen? It was just a little stupid thing. I was trying to decide whether I should make... What?
I'm sorry, you cut out for a second. You said you were trying to make what?
I was trying to decide whether I should make a purchase or not, or wait.
Ah, okay.
And it was just one of those really silly little, you know, it's, you know, irrelevant now. But at the time, I let my ego, you know, completely take over. And it just, you know, I don't know. I just thought it was relevant to this passage. So
definitely. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's that sneakiness, that insidiousness of the ego, where it will use anything, even a purchase, to you know, keep ourselves believing that we are these egos.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a great example. Thank you for sharing that.
This is Claudia again.
Hey.
Hi. I wanted to, that line that says the ego is confusion and identification, that definitely sticks out to me, because this week, and it's interesting because it's, as students of the course, I hear everybody's example, and it's definitely how we're trying to, like, deal with the insanities that come up as part of, like, us just living here, or, you know, believing that we're having this experience. So it's interesting because so many of the things we're talking about, I'm thinking, yeah, it's just these practical moments, like these everyday things. But I'm thinking of this moment where I was walking with my coworkers and we're taking a walk, and they were talking about their weight, and they were talking about being a size 16 and being a size 12 and being a size 10. And I had, like, major anxiety because I'm nowhere near those sizes, and I was freaking out because I didn't want them to ask me my size. And I'm like, I don't want them to ask me my size because I'm, like, 5 foot tall, and they're going to tell me that I'm small because I'm not even close to, like, a 12. And I was feeling very inadequate that I was, like, really small, and I could tell that I was anxious about it. And at that moment, I just kind of left it alone. But when I thought about it later, I kind of was like, as a student of the course, I was like, okay, well, what's bugging me? Like, why am I getting anxious about this? And it just hit me that I'm like, okay, you're identified, you were super identified with this idea of separateness, of you guys being body, you know, you being whatever size you are, them being 14, them being 16. So because of that, because of my so this sticks out because it's obviously like I was confused about what I was identified to be as my true self. So the more I believe this identification with I'm 5 feet tall, I'm a size zero, I'm a size one, whatever, you know, I was obviously getting anxious because then my ego was saying, okay, well, you're separate than them. And in that moment, my ego was really telling me, like, they're better than you. You have to be anxious because their sizes are bigger and you're smaller. So again, it just points out like the insanity of whatever it was saying. Like afterward, when I saw it, I'm like, okay, you believed in the identification with the body. Of course, as soon as you do that, you're going to cause yourself anxiety.
Uh-huh.
So and it's funny because I thought to myself, I actually thought of you and I was like, what would Corinne say about this? I was like, how does this make any sense? I was like, what would a course student think? Because I couldn't, I was like, why was the anxiety coming up? So I was actually thinking like, what was the answer? So I really just went to the Holy Spirit and was like, Holy Spirit, like, just tell me like why was the anxiety? And that sentence summarizes it beautifully. It's just confusion and your identity.
That was such a perfect example. Perfect example. And I love to, again, rather than what would Corinne say, you know, what would the Holy Spirit say?
right.
What would the Holy Spirit say? And that message came through beautifully, loud and clear. Wow, that sentence does really capture that.
Isn't there even a quote in the Course that says the ego, when you're comparing, it's in you're in the ego or something, like any comparison.
Yes. Yeah.
Is of the ego.
Yep. Definitely.
That was
That's a perfect example. I can't think of that exact line, but yeah, exactly. If you're making a comparison, what are you comparing to? It has to be something else. It has to be something that's, you know, that's separate. And of course, intellectually, you know, it can be really easy to be like, okay, you know, so we're not separate, so I'm just not going to compare. But, you know, we have to be where we're at, too, and recognize that we have made this real for ourselves. And, you know, the way out of it is, again, by turning every belief, you know, thought like that, giving it to the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to shift it for us. So
a lot of times the ego will get in there and say, well, I'm just making an observation.
You know, an objective observation.
It can be so insidious. But it always goes back again. What would God be saying about this?
Right.
That's where you can really see the difference.
Right. Yeah. You absolutely can. And I feel like this next paragraph is very relevant, so let's keep reading, because, you know, we can think about the insidiousness and the insanity of the ego, and even this idea, you know, that sometimes we have these ego backlashes, like we do start turning to the Holy Spirit, and we do hand things over, and then the ego starts freaking out because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't want us to do that. It wants us to keep believing in it because it's dependent on our belief. So there's that tendency to be like, you know, afraid of the ego. So this next sentence is perfect. And in the Sparkle edition, this is in all caps. Do not be afraid of the ego. That's how it says it in the Sparkle. So do not be afraid of the ego. It does depend on your mind. And as you made it by believing in it, so you can dispel it by withdrawing belief from it. Do not project the responsibility for your belief in it onto anyone else, or you will preserve the belief. When you are willing to accept sole responsibility for the ego's existence yourself, you will have laid aside all anger and all attack because they come from an attempt to project responsibility for your own errors. Well, but having accepted the errors as yours, do not keep them. Again, all caps. Give them over quickly to the Holy Spirit to be undone completely, so that all their effects will vanish from your minds and from the sonship as a whole. And again, as a whole is in all capital letters. I love this paragraph.
Doesn't that relate very much to what you were talking about last week about the Hawaiian prayer?
Yes, absolutely. Taking full responsibility for what we see. And again, for those of us who maybe didn't hear the call last week, there's a prayer in the practice of Ho'oponopono, and there is a there was a Hawaiian doctor. This book that I'm referring to is called Zero Limits. This Hawaiian doctor healed a whole ward of criminally insane psychiatric patients, never having met them, simply by what he called a process of cleaning. And it had to do, again, with exactly what you just picked up on, Paula, that responsibility for what I see, that if I see it out there, it has to be in my mind. So the prayer is, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And I've heard it in different orders, said in, you know, different order as well. But yeah, absolutely. It's about taking that complete responsibility, not projecting our own sense of error onto anybody else, but instead, you know, taking responsibility for it, but not keeping it, handing it immediately to the Holy Spirit for it to be undone. It makes me think of that. There's a, I think it's in one of the lessons, and I'm not going to remember the whole quote. I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience and everything, and I decide upon the goal which I would achieve. Everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked. That, to me, this is what it means, where we, rather than we're receiving what we ask when we choose to see and identify with the ego. That's what comes to us, our ego experiences that reinforce the separation and that reinforce the ego. Instead, when we take that responsibility for what we see and give it to the Holy Spirit instead, we receive what we ask, and that is the shift in perception. That is the miracle. That is the Holy Spirit's teaching. And that's the more gentle path for sure.
I had a lot of anxiety this week about a certain situation that was going on that I was projecting all my fear onto. And I used that. And it became almost sort of like a meditation. Mm-hmm. And it really relieved so much of that anxiety. And it got me off it. Mm-hmm. You know, that awful cycle that goes on in your head when you're in a fearful state. Mm-hmm. It just kind of broke the ice for me. It was really, really quite wonderful. Mm-hmm. I like to say the rosary sometimes when I get into that situation. And this was even easier. I actually use the rosary beads and just as a, you know, a way of keeping my focus on those four words.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or four sentences.
Which four sentences?
You know, I love you.
Ah, yes. Yes.
I'm
sorry.
Sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you.
Thank you.
And, you know, it can actually become like a meditation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I had shared last week, too, that what those words mean to me is, you know, I love you. It's that, you know, willingness to see with the Holy Spirit's vision that we are connected. I'm sorry. In that, you know, for all my misperceptions and projections, please forgive me is, again, giving it all to the Holy Spirit. And thank you, to me, is resting and just trusting that it is done. It is done. Not guilty, as Paula says. Did I hear another voice before? Was that you, DJ?
Yeah, I was just going to say that the paragraph that you read is so huge because when we're in our ego voice, we don't want to take responsibility for anything that we've created. And so, like, I was just thinking what a different existence it will be when everyone is willing to accept responsibility for their creation.
Right, yeah. That's huge.
Because there's, I mean, even with myself, there have been many times where I'm like, I didn't create this. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
But of course I did.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it's a tough thing, and it's a huge thing. And that's where, again, the Course, I think, can be off-putting, perhaps, to a lot of people, because it's, you know, accepting sole responsibility for the ego's existence yourself, like, what? But, again, one of the things that has just helped me so much, even when I was struggling with anxiety a lot, was this idea that this is coming from my split mind. So even, you know, so whether it's those intense internal feelings or if it's something out there that's just horrific, you know, and just turn on the news to find an example, I will sometimes say to myself, like, okay, you know, I don't know how, but I'm willing to own that this is somehow coming from my split mind, from this one split mind that we all share that's dreaming this crazy dream. And I'm willing, you know, to give it to the Holy Spirit to see it differently. It goes back to that prayer that I know I've mentioned on the call before that I just love so much. Take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. So when I see, you know, those horrific things and hear those horrific stories, rather than judge it with my ego, which, again, you're going to do, and you know, but you take that moment to instead turn to the Holy Spirit saying, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. And, you know, the prayer goes on, let me not see it as a sign of sin and death, nor use it for destruction. Teach me how not to make of it an obstacle to peace, but let you use it for me to facilitate peace's coming, to facilitate its coming. So that came to mind for me as well.
Corinne, I was going to say the sentence that jumped out at me was the do not project the responsibility for your belief in it onto anyone else, or you will preserve the belief. Mm-hmm. I know everybody's basically said, you know, the same thing, how it really brought something to mind for them. But it brought to mind for me an experience I had last weekend with my daughter. We were on a retreat from our church, and I kind of observed her in an interaction with one of the other children there. And I totally perceived it in a way, not being aware of what the real dialogue was and whether I was right or wrong, I think is irrelevant. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the feelings that came up were things related to my own feelings about myself that I was projecting onto my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And at my church, we go on retreat, and one of the documentaries we had watched was The Shadow Effect with Debbie Ford and Deepak Chopra.
Okay.
And I wasn't familiar with this at all, but we watched the video, and I found it very, very profound, and I realized I was projecting my shadow of unworthiness and not wanting to be a bother and guilt, which is always about feeling unworthy and blah, 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 onto my daughter. And it was influencing how I was reacting to her. And then my mind started thinking, like, I really saw it very clearly. And I was like, well, okay, wow. You know, I mean, it's okay to set limits and talk to people about certain things. But I was really felt like my intense reaction was based on, you know, this shadow and, you know, my own feelings that were underneath the surface I was projecting onto her. And so the reason it came to mind as you were reading was because projecting it onto someone else as someone else's responsibility, you know, I could have gone back to the whole thing about, oh, well, you know, if my mother had been more loving, had been more kind, if I had mm-hmm. felt more valued in my home, I wouldn't have these shadows and I wouldn't be projecting them onto her. But then I really sat with Spirit on it and I said, you know, that's not what the issue is. It was just my mother's ego was reinforcing my own ego's belief about itself.
Mm.
In the parenting of me, and I'm trying to do that with my daughter unconsciously. And so I said, I need to go all the way back to the split mind because I can never be invaluable. I'm not unworthy, and I need to, like, really ask for healing of this idea. So, because that's a deep issue for me. It's something I've always struggled with, and that just really, really came up. Because, you know, when it says here, don't project the responsibility for the belief onto others, I could have said, oh, it's my mother's fault.
Right, right, right.
And I could have just left it at that. But it's not her fault.
Right.
It's the split mind's fault. And that's
right.
That's where the true healing can occur.
Right. Wow. Oh, my gosh. That is so huge. That's,
you know, years ago, my older daughter and I really couldn't even be in the same room together half the time. And an incident occurred. And I actually talked to a psychiatrist about it. And that is basically what that psychiatrist said to me. You've got to, she's not your target, you know. Stop projecting your stuff on her. And just the awareness of that has changed our relationship, like I can't even tell you.
Mm. I love it when the Holy Spirit speaks through others.
Oh, it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. Because I wasn't aware that that's what I was doing.
Right. Right.
And it was so obvious to me when he said that to me, that, you know, I was able to stop it. And honestly, she and I are, we are just, we are so close now. I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Wow. Wow. Oh, that's beautiful. And Sonia, that was just such a powerful example, because that really, it really does go that deep. And we can go that deep with even, you know, little things that happen in our lives, where, again, going back to, it all comes back to our belief in separation and the unconscious fear and guilt that we, you know, carry because we think that we actually did separate from God. And so you can actually, you know, with anything, trace it back to that. You know, it's not our parents' fault. It's not anybody else's fault. it's again, this ego script, this dream that the split mind has, you know, the script it's written. And it's only by, again, turning again and again and again to the Holy Spirit to allow that dream to be reinterpreted, to be undone, that we can come to know true healing.
Yeah, I think that's true, and that's what I felt for myself. I mean, I feel like I wasn't looking for that deep belief to be exposed in such an interaction, in such a really simple interaction on the surface, but I was definitely open to receiving the message in that. And the other thing, as you were talking, I was also reminded of the fact that if I had continued to look at it the way I had been previously, I just would have reinforced that false belief in myself by reprimanding her from that false belief.
Right, right. Absolutely. Wow. That, with the sentence then that you referenced before, do not project the responsibility for your belief in it onto anyone else, or you will preserve the belief. That's exactly that. It would just preserve it.
Yeah.
Yeah, worthiness is an issue it's a human issue that every, like, I don't know a person on the planet that isn't dealing with that on some level. But we're all one, so.
Yeah, that I'm glad that you brought that up, Deidre, that unworthiness, because when we get, I'm assuming we'll get to this next week, but it'll talk about how all of the, because we're blocking that extension of God, you know, we're communication channels of God, and we've chosen to block, you know, we've chosen to turn away and forget who it is that we are. We can't feel fulfilled. We can't feel
holy, worthy.
Worthy, because we're blocking that which we truly are. So it's that inner work that we all ultimately have to do and will do.
It is so hard to maintain that belief.
Which belief?
Of worthiness. It's not even so much a belief of worthiness. Just what you were just talking about. I mean, it's like, it's hard to maintain that. It's hard to remember that. The ego really, really has a way of veiling that somehow.
And it's because we don't fully want it.
There's
part
okay.
of us, you know, when we get really honest.
No, you're right.
Would you choose right now in this moment, would you choose, you know, again, that little silly test that I've brought up before, like, would you choose $10 million or would you choose peace of God? One or the other. And I'm happy to say there have been times when I would definitely choose the peace of God, but then there's absolutely been so many other times and I'm like, $10 million, thank you. So we're still on the fence, you know. We've got, as course students, I feel like now we've got one foot in each camp. You know, we're now seeing the benefits and the peace that comes with learning how, and just the deep, deep satisfaction that comes with listening to the Holy Spirit and being in our right minds. But then, you know, there's part of our mind that's like, I kind of still really love what I made.
And it keeps us in the body.
Exactly.
It is the belief in the body.
Exactly.
That's exactly what it is. And I'm forever forgetting that.
Yep.
Because I want to be in this body. I want to be Paula.
Right, right. I want to be Corinne. Exactly.
Joseph always used to say, you're not Paula.
Yeah.
And I would like, tell me again, please.
And we do start remembering more as we start being like, you know what? Yeah, I do really want the peace of God. There's a line in the Course that says, I want the peace of God. To say these words is nothing, but to mean these words is everything. And so when we really want it, that's when we remember. That's when remembering becomes way more effortless, because now, you know, maybe we're still on the fence, but we've got, you know, a foot and some toes in the Holy Spirit's camp. And, you know, we're starting to turn to that direction because we're really seeing that that actually is what we want. And then that's when, you know, we easily remember. And that's also, too, that whole idea about vigilance and how we need vigilance for a while, ultimately to come to realize that we don't need to be vigilant at all because we are already healed. So we can't, you know, we don't know that now, so we need that vigilance. But that vigilance comes the more and more our trust builds because, you know, we're seeing how happy we can actually be. Oh, let's go ahead and read the next paragraph. Oh, and I just want to, oh, yes.
Sorry, this is Claudie. I want to ask a question, actually, because I think you guys said something. I don't think I've ever made the connection, so I kind of want clarification.
Sure.
It sounds to me, and I think I'm having kind of like an aha moment, I don't think I've ever seen, because people have been talking about unworthiness, so I think what I'm hearing is that the issue of unworthiness, it sounds like it comes, I think Paula said it, because we have this perception that we have this belief in the body. So basically, if I'm understanding this correctly, if we actually understood our real selves not to even have a body and to just be a oneness, then we really wouldn't even be in this issue of unworthiness.
Absolutely.
Right? Is that what I'm understanding?
If you, yes. When we know who we truly are,
right.
You cannot but feel worthy. There's a line in the Course that says, nothing that you do or say or think establishes your worth. Your worth is established by God. So as we come to know who it is that we truly are and that you are not Clary and I am not Corinne, as you come to really know that, you have to know your own worthiness. It just it comes with the territory. So, yep.
So needless to say that would also take away unworthiness from anybody else. So, like, if we got that we were worthy, then automatically we would heal everybody else into worthiness.
I am so glad that you said that because that's exactly what I was just going to add when you started speaking, that very, very last sentence of what we just read. Give them over quickly to the Holy Spirit to be undone completely so that all of their effects will vanish from your minds and from the sonship as a whole.
That's right. Okay.
We're not doing this just for our separate selves. When every time we heal and every time, you know, we lift that veil a little bit more, we're doing this for each other, which is just so beautiful. We're all going home, you know, together. So
Oh, yeah, sounds like the most important part, just because, like, a lot of times when we think of this issue or whatever, you know, this belief or this misbelief, misperception, it seems to be like, well, I need to feel worthy, you know, and then it's like, I feel like you miss a lot of times, even when you teach this and just, you know, normal, you know, conventional way, I think you miss that piece of, like, it's not just because then you perceive yourself as worthy, but then, like, all of a sudden everything, like, everyone else comes, it becomes the same for everybody else that you come in contact with.
Oh, no, go on, DJ.
I was just gonna say, like, I think the ego likes to get in there and try to define what worthiness is. Like, if I behave a certain way, then therefore I am worthy. Or if I earn a certain credential, or if I achieve this, or I do that, or whatever it is. There's tons of different ways, but I remember one person in the group one time told a story about going to a store. I think it was around Christmas time, and they received something for free at no cost, even though they had broken an ornament or something. I can't remember, but it was just such an example of how the Holy Spirit doesn't work in terms of rewarding good behavior or punishing bad behavior, and I think that's what we get worthiness caught up in that.
Right.
You know, we're either defining ourselves as good or bad, and what the Holy Spirit is saying is there is no such thing.
Yes. The story that you're referring to, I'm pretty sure my mom shared that story. And And again, another course quote that comes to mind is that it goes exactly what you're saying with judging, you know, good or bad. It does not matter in the end whether you judge right or wrong. Either way, you are placing your belief in the unreal. So when we get caught up in, like, you know, being good or bad, or, you know, right or wrong, it doesn't matter. They're both unreal. If, you know, again, we're looking with the ego. So that was awesome. I'll just add one other thing, and then we'll just read these last two paragraphs to finish out this section. But when we were just talking about healing others, like how, you know, as we accept the miracle in our own mind, as we accept the atonement for ourselves, we're doing it for our brothers, each other as well. That might mean, though, that we don't necessarily see a shift with the body's eyes. And that's where when the Course says to doubt a healing because of the, you know, mm-hmm. continuance of symptoms or something like that, to doubt a healing is a mistake in the form of lack of trust. It goes back to that teaching, you know, do not believe the picture. So even as, because our sole job is to accept that atonement, that undoing in our own mind, you know, even if things seem to still be heated and crazy in the external, it's back to that thing, you know, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. Do not believe the picture. You know, keep handing it over to the Holy Spirit and trust. So I just thought I would add that. So we're almost to the top of the hour. Let's get these two last paragraphs of this section read. Where am I? Okay. The Holy Spirit will teach you to perceive beyond belief, because truth is beyond belief, and His perception is true. The ego can be completely forgotten at any time because it was always a belief that is totally incredible. No one can keep a belief he has judged to be unbelievable. The more you learn about the ego, the more you realize that it cannot be believed. The incredible cannot be understood because it is unbelievable. The utter meaninglessness of all perception that comes from the unbelievable must be apparent, but it is not recognized as beyond belief because it was made by belief. The whole purpose of this course is to teach you that the ego is unbelievable and will forever be unbelievable. You who made the ego by believing the unbelievable cannot make this judgment alone. By accepting the atonement for yourself, you are deciding against the belief that you can be alone, thus dispelling the idea of separation and affirming your true identification with the whole kingdom as literally part of you. This identification is as beyond doubt as it is beyond belief. Your wholeness has no limits because being is in infinity. Beautiful. I love this idea that truth is beyond belief. So, you know, what is belief? You know, that's like, oh, I believe this, I believe that. There's a difference between belief and knowing, you know, through that experience. Truth is absolutely beyond belief. And I just, that's one of the things that strikes me about these last two paragraphs. Does anybody have any insights or anything that came up for you from these two paragraphs?
Well, I think it's excellent that you emphasized, you know, the knowing.
Mhm. Yeah, beliefs don't matter.
Beliefs really don't matter.
Mhm.
It's that knowing, and that knowing for me seems to come the more I question which voice I'm listening to.
Yeah, yep, that's how, yep, that's that development of trust.
That puts it into perspective for me. Even though there may be a lot of fear and anxiety around it all, you know, it is that knowing that comes when I ask myself, what would God be thinking here?
Mm-hmm.
And it just helps to get me back into alignment.
Awesome.
And it's really the simplest question you could ever ask, because
we
know God is all good and is love. God is love. So if it's not loving, God wouldn't be thinking it.
Right. That's right.
Right. Yep.
That is right.
But sometimes I just want to be a bitch. That's all. All right. That's enough of this. This is wonderful.
We gotta be where we're at, Paula.
Yep, we gotta. I think of you all the time, Corinne. That is the most wonderful, gentle perception.
Yep. We can't speed up our lessons. We can't pummel our way through it. We gotta go through it and be where we're at and take it to the Holy Spirit as we go. So, if you've gotta be a bitch, be a bitch. Do it with the Holy Spirit.
You're the best.
Take it to the Holy Spirit when you're done.
You're the best.
I'll just end with two highlighting this sentence. By accepting the atonement for yourself, you are deciding against the belief that you can be alone, thus dispelling the idea of separation and affirming your true identification with the whole kingdom as literally part of you. Our sole job is to accept that atonement for ourselves. Our sole job is to allow those miracles to dawn upon our own mind, and in doing so, that's how we heal, and that's how we help others. Awesome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Thank you, everybody, for being here, for sharing, and I'll post the recording of the call on my website, and I will pick up with the extension of the kingdom next week.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank
everybody.
You.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.